This is the last official message on grace. We're never going to talk about grace again. Next week, we're going to do an introduction to the book on Corinthians, and grace seems to drip out of every chapter of Corinthians as well. As I've shared with several, every message scares me, but there's few messages that scare me more than Christmas and Mother's Day. Just like, you know, you can maybe get by with some mess-ups on other days, but you can't get by with mess-ups on Mother's Day. And since I'm not a mother, several of you are going to say, what does he have to say to me? Because he has no clue. So I will try to stick to the text as much as possible. Grace, and you mix in the concept of grace and mothers. And mothers, if for some reason this message makes you feel guilty, I hope not. I hope it encourages you. Keep on going, keep on going, keep striving. As I think of grace and the concept of grace, I think the best examples, living examples of grace, are godly mothers. It becomes such a characteristic of their life, it's their middle name. They live it out day in and day out in just being a godly mother, much of the time without even thinking about it. It becomes natural, but then when you add the supernatural grace, what a deep, deep impact a mother can have. A mother can have great grace in her speech. A mother can have great grace in her actions. And a mother can have great grace in her reactions. I'd like to look this morning at one of the few New Testament mothers that we have. In the New Testament age, there's only one mother that I could find prominent after the Gospels. And that's Eunice, mother of Timothy. What a powerful influence she had on a young man who would become Paul's right hand, who would join Paul as Paul ended up going to Europe, and the influence that he ended up having in Ephesus, in Berea, in Corinth. He was Paul's right hand. How did he become that young man? So powerful an influence. Yes, it was Paul's discipleship, but as we'll see, it was also his mother Eunice that had a very profound effect on Timothy. If you'd like to follow along, it'll be on the screen, but also in Acts 16, we will begin here. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. Paul was on his second missionary journey. Paul had been here before. Approximately a year to a year and a half before, he had been to this area, and he had been to this town. In fact, Lystra is where he was stoned and left for dead. He was dragged out of the city and left for dead. God raised him up. He went into the city and went on. I've never been stoned either way. But to be stoned and go back to that place, I would have a hard time ever going back. But a year, year and a half later, going back, Paul courageously went back to Derbe and he went to Lystra, and there was a disciple there, a follower of Jesus Christ there, named Timothy. He was the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. We see here Eunice is a Jewish woman who was a believer, likely a part of the dispersion that had been scattered This area is eastern Turkey. So probably part of the Jewish dispersion that had been dispersed there, scattered away from Israel. She's a Jewish, of Jewish origin, but she has come to faith in Jesus Christ through grace. An active believer, but married to a Greek, and as we seem to find out, that he must not be a believer. Some of you are in that situation, and it takes a real special grace. When you find yourself married to an unbeliever, the grace to keep going and keep living out the faith when you don't have a husband to support you, when you may have a husband that doesn't not only not support you, but actively derails you. Eunice was a believer. She had speech, as we'll see, she had grace in her speech, but she had grace in her actions and reactions with an unbelieving husband to the extent that she was still able to actively influence her son for Christ. And in helping shape his form his character, and help grow his faith, he became such that he was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. So much so that Paul the Apostle wanted Timothy to accompany him. And as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Timothy got to be a part of seeing churches strengthened in faith and increased in numbers daily by what message? The message that David reminded us of in Acts 15. Grace. That this salvation, this new age and new era, is apart from all the Old Testament regulations. Your faith in God and your faith in Jesus Christ is faith alone, apart from all those regulations. You're free now. You're free. And the emphasis of that letter, it's in grace. It's grace. And he was a part of going to these congregations. And he was a part of delivering that message of grace. How did he get there? Turn with me to 2 Timothy. This is believed to be the last book, the last letter that Paul wrote. Paul's sitting in prison. According to some, he only leaves this prison to be executed. And in writing, he wants to write this letter to this very important young man. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul loves Timothy, considers him a child in the faith. Now, this is a prayer that many moms would also pray for their children. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Right about now on the West Coast, there's a lady in her 80s getting up, and she's praying for me. I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, as I remember your tears, and I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. How many moms are praying that this morning? That sometime today, sometime soon, they would long to see their children, that they would be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, your genuine faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, who passed on that faith to your mother Eunice, And now I am sure it dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control. The faith that is now in Timothy, the sincere, genuine faith that is having impact on churches in Berea and in Ephesus and Thessalonica and Corinth, that deep impact, that sincere faith, how did it start? A faith that dwelt first in his grandmother, who passed it on to her daughter, who has now passed it on to her son. A sincere faith from Eunice. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. The message of grace. The message of grace that we cannot save ourselves, that we can never be good enough. And his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois had the grace enough to speak that message into Timothy's life. Place your faith in Jesus Christ, because Timothy, you can't be good enough. You will never do it right with the right heart for it to count as credit as righteousness before God. Some see grace as, if you're too gracious, your children will live wild lives. Remember, to be full of grace, truly full of grace, is to be full of truth and speaking truth into their life. We don't have this specified, but Eunice sharing faith with Timothy, faith that you cannot save yourself, that you cannot be good enough, you cannot follow the Old Testament law well enough to be accepted as righteous before God. Trust in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Moms, you do need to help your children know right from wrong. As Paul shares in the New Testament, the law helps educate us to our sin, but also It also educates us that we cannot save ourselves. And so in revealing right and wrong to your children and helping them understand right and wrong, beginning with the Ten Commandments, that this is what God of the universe, holy, righteous God of the universe, considers right and wrong, and helps them realize they're not meeting it. Or if they're meeting it, are they meeting it with the right heart attitude? And in that discipline process, to help them realize you can't do right, or if you're doing right, you can't do it with the right heart attitude, without grace. Without grace. It cannot be attributed to you as righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. You need grace. Paul Tripp and the Tripp brothers, they've written two books, Shepherding Your Child's Heart and Age of Opportunity. I encourage you to read those as parents if you haven't. But one of their excellent points in the discipline process is to help your children realize that they need grace. Not by winking at sin, but in the disciplining of sin, to say, you know what? Jesus Christ came to die for that. He came to die for that sin. And while you're being punished for it here, he was punished before God for your sin. And by grace, you can receive that. And then by God's grace, you have the power to not do that sin again. But that grace has to be a part of your speech. It has to come out in your speech. You have to be able to speak the truth graciously in a timely way into your children's lives to help them understand they cannot save themselves. We've been called to a holy calling, not because of our works. Moms, in your speech of why you come to church, hurry up, get ready. We don't want to be late. Is there grace? We get the chance, we get the privilege to come to church this morning. We have the opportunity to come to be encouraged. We have the chance to come and stir up love and good works. If you're not down here in 2 minutes, you are grounded for the rest of your week. To teach grace. One of the great phrases I loved is, are you more worried about how your children are viewed before God? Or are you more worried about how you are viewed because of your children before others? If we're late again, you're going to make us look bad. If you don't sit still in church, you're going to make me look bad. Or are you trying to teach them back to the roots of truly what is important? That we cannot save ourselves. God's purpose and calling in our life is for holiness and to magnify grace. This message, Paul says, I was appointed as a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. And it's why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day that which has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. That good deposit started with faith shared by your mother, who had been shared from your grandmother. And that deposit was shared into your life, and the Holy Spirit now is guarding that deposit. He's guarding it. So you can participate in this. While I am being ashamed, I'm in prison, I may die for this, and your faith may be shaken. Is this really worth it? Is this difficult life really worth it? Be assured, for I know whom I believed. I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day which has been entrusted to me. Moms, are you convinced that he is able? Are you convinced that he's able to guard you? Are you convinced he's able to guard your child? Are you convinced? How many hours we worry and fret. We desperately try to be our child's Holy Spirit. And we desperately try to guarantee that they're never, ever going to fall away. Can't. In grace, to trust that the Holy Spirit, if they've drawn them into a faith relationship with Jesus Christ, that he is working on the inside and he will guarantee that that deposit of faith that has started will see it through. But Paul goes on in 2 Timothy 3. Timothy, my son in the faith, young man, understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money. They'll be proud, they'll be arrogant, they'll be abusive. They'll be disobedient to their parents. They'll be ungrateful, unholy. They'll be heartless. They'll be unappeasable. They'll be slanderous without self-control. They'll be brutal. They won't love good. They'll be treacherous. They'll be reckless. They'll be swollen with conceit. They'll be lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. They'll have the appearance of godliness, but they'll deny its power. Avoid such people. Timothy, there's coming a time when living the Christian life will be extremely difficult. There are going to be people all around you. There'll be a living apart from grace. They'll be pulling you away from grace. And there will be coming that time. It's coming. It's coming, Timothy. It is coming. Avoid such people. They not have active influence in your life. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women. Today that would probably be through TV, media, internet. Burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. But Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get far, for their folly will be plain to all as it was to those two men. When you see evil men prospering, when you see evil men growing in influence, trust God, the one who you are convinced. Don't worry, they won't get away with it forever. But you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings, what happened to me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra. Remember that time I was stoned and left for dead 20 years ago? Which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. The message of grace. That in this grace age, it's going to end very, very difficult. Evil people will grow and be empowered, and it will seem like they're prospering. You have the secure, confident faith in God's grace that He can see you through it. Or do you want to just give up and row downstream with them? You've seen Timothy, my spiritual child. You followed my teaching. You saw my actions, my reactions, my conduct. You saw my aim and purpose in life. You've seen my faith, my patience, my love. You've seen all of that in the persecutions and sufferings. And I've endured it. And the Lord has rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But Elder Cain, we are in America and we have the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I need to just tell my children all about joy and all the fun things to enjoy and all the great experiences, and that they wrap their life up into all the positive experiences that can be had because of all the money and resources we have in this world. Moms, as messengers of God's grace, are you equipping them for the true realities of what's going to happen in their lives? If you desire to live godly, there's going to be adversity. There's going to be difficulty. My mom, share a little bit more about her in just a minute. She liked to teach us about adversity when we played table games. I didn't go to men's competitions last night because I knew I was preaching this morning and wasn't sure there'd be enough time for confession. I'm highly competitive, less so now. But my mom graciously taught me how to lose. She's more competitive than I, maybe. And she loved winning and seeing me lose my temper and then have to grow through that experience. Moms, are you preparing your children for adversity? Or are you one of these moms that's handing out participation ribbons? Oh! You ran around the field, you get a participation ribbon. Throw the ribbon away. When you win something, you get something. Is in raising mamby-pambies that are only looking for the easy, cushy life. That's not reality or the reality of grace. That grace, if you truly want to live for God, there's going to be adversity. There's going to be difficulty. And you've got to let the Holy Spirit form that character in your life now while you're in the safety of my home. Because, boy, when it gets out there, this world is a cruel place and it's only going to get worse. And people are going to be deceived. They're going to go about deceiving and being deceived. And child, I want you to have a firm faith on the grace of God that you know truth. And you will not be easily deceived. And how does Paul say that then? Evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Why does your life matter, Mom? Why does the way you live matter? It's not just what you say, it's how you live. Because Timothy, as for you, when people all around you are being deceived, deceiving and being deceived, giving in, giving up, remember, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. Your mother, myself, others, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Timothy, in those difficult, difficult times that I'm going through, that you see me going through, that you're going to go through, continue in what you've learned. Remember who you've learned it from. And how from a childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred scriptures. Eunice, a Jewish believer in a Gentile town, married to a Gentile. From a childhood, from her son's childhood, made it a priority that he would know the sacred writings, that he would know scripture. We have all kinds of opportunities here as a church to assist you in that process. I wasn't here last week. I was sick last week. But we had quizzers. Were they recognized last week? Some of them memorized 200 verses this last school year. How many of you even know 200 verses? In our Sunday school program and youth program, opportunities to be grounded in the Word of God. You don't have to do it alone. She didn't do it alone. She participated in the body of Christ. And she allowed the body of Christ to also influence her son. But from childhood, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. the message of grace, you can expose your child to truth, much like you can lead a horse to water. You can't make the horse drink. You cannot save your child. The Pritchards were here a couple of weeks ago, and we had the privilege of having them in our Sunday school class. And somebody asked them a question about parenting. And she said, you know, one of the things is, don't adopt any one of the books. Take what you can from the books, but none of them are perfect. Some of you have adopted books, and you have authors that are highly exalted in your hearts and minds. And they've given you a formula that A plus B will always equal C. It's not grace. You can expose them to truth. You can live and have a great atmosphere and home, but it's no guarantee that they're going to respond to the grace and truth and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and live godly. You can do all your work to provide that atmosphere to assist in the process, but there's no guarantee. And if you're not careful, when your child does happen to have some semblance of godliness, you begin to take the credit and forget grace. That was God's work. If your child is godly, yes, you participated in that atmosphere, but it was God's work and God's grace. It's for His glory, not yours. But the flip side of it then as well is we see somebody that ended up with a D. We see their child as a D child. Oh, they really screwed up the formula. If only they had gotten all this formula right, if they'd have followed our formula, they wouldn't have ended up with a D child. They would have had the godly child. That's not grace. Moms, to have grace permeate your thoughts, your speech, your actions, and your reactions. You participate in this process, but it's a working of God's grace and God's working of His Holy Spirit, that if your child ends up being well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra, like Timothy was, if your child ends up being well spoken of, that's glory. It goes to God's grace, to His glory, to His credit, not to you. From a childhood, you've been acquainted with the sacred scriptures that are making you wise for salvation. In this day and age, in this nation, you have an abundance, a superabundance, and probably so many resources that you probably just say, I can't handle it. If you want to expose the heart and mind of your child to the truth of who God is, there are an abundance of resources. And if you feel like you don't have a good handle on it, the elders, the deacons, others in the church that would be glad to share with you a variety of resources to help you in this process, that your children can know the power of the Word of God, the message of grace, that there's a holy, righteous God who loves them enough to send His perfect Son to live among them, to die in their place for all the wrong things they ever thought, said, or did, to die in their place, to take the punishment they deserved, and was raised to new life. And that His empowering grace and indwelling Holy Spirit can raise them to great things. I was going to talk about my wife. I'll probably have to pay her later. Many of you know my wife is very gracious. And I was tapping her on the songs. Will, thank you for the crossover songs this morning. You know, Beautiful One and The One I Adore. And yeah, great crossover songs for Mother's Day, huh? One instance, early in our raising children, we went to a conference together. And there was a mother speaking. that wasn't exactly gracious. Her bun was pulled quite tight. And she said, if you send your children to the public school, you're sending them to the Egyptians. And thankfully, my wife, being the gracious person that she is, acted in grace to put her arm on my arm so I didn't raise my hand in an ungracious way. This is one area that we need to grow in grace. And that we became convinced of at that point that we hope we communicate grace. There's all kinds of ways to educate your child and to raise your child. And you need to seek that before God. And you and your husband together need to seek that before God and seek what's best for you, for your child. And we say on an annual basis, on a yearly basis, what is right this year? I have a friend, a great plan has worked out for all of his kids, that they go to Christian school for elementary. They go to homeschool, really good curriculum for junior high. And they go to high school, a public high school, first high school, and a dramatic, they're change agents. All of their kids ended up being change agents. It's worked well for them and for their kids. But if you have that ungracious attitude that someone's not doing it your way, their child's being educated by the Egyptians, just know that Moses was educated by the Egyptians. He got his university degree from the Egyptians. Daniel went to university at the Babylonians. Paul went to the best religious schools that weren't Christian. Moses ended up killing somebody. Paul ended up killing several. Moses and Paul both went to extra studies at God's university on the backside of the desert. And God's university on the backside of the desert is where some of the best lessons will be learned. Moms, you got an important job in helping this process. Now I want to talk about my mom. You have that picture? There you go. This was at Thanksgiving. Her name is Helen. She is now 86, I believe. She is mother of 10. I'm just child number 8. And provided her lots of peace and tranquility. That's because I have 8 sisters, so she was just glad to have another boy. Yes, my mom taught me how to lose. My mom also was gracious enough to feed us broccoli and cauliflower, but she was gracious to do it with smothered in cheese. My mother was gracious in serving spinach, but smothered in mustard sauce. It was really good. I'm not sure I can still figure out how she was gracious in sending me to school with beef tongue sandwiches. And when she served her potato soup, there was more than once, she was gracious enough to allow me to spend the rest of the evening in the kitchen eating my cold potato soup until I finished it. But in that graciousness, she helped raise a fairly non-picky eater, right? Made it really easy for my wife. My mom, the other thing I really adore about her now is that she has probably grown in grace more in her 70s and 80s. That she hasn't stopped allowing the Holy Spirit to take the word and continue to refine her thoughts and approaches of how she approaches people, how she speaks to people. how she acts and thinks of their actions towards people. Mother's Day, 1985. I was 16, had a driver's license for 6 months. I had won the Northwest in our churches. I'd won the singing competition and had a privilege, chance to go win a scholarship in Springfield, Illinois. So my dad bought a panel van, a conversion van, had a bed in the back. I mean, it was fancy because we were going to go across country as a family to be able to go so I could sing in this competition. It was, it was nice. Mother's Day, we had many siblings come over and their kids. I said to one of my brother-in-laws, hey, let's go try out the new van. Hop in. We hop in this van, we tear up, and we go up to an entrance ramp that I'd never been on before. It's a curved entrance ramp coming onto a curved freeway on a busy holiday afternoon. I tear onto that, showing him all that this van can do. I mean, because first time, you got to show it off, right? And I take off, and I get in the first lane. There's slow traffic, so I got to go blow past him in the left-hand lane. Not knowing, right behind me was a car. It had got all the way over to the shoulder. It set its brake, and we came really close to not having an accident. But this much of my back bumper caught his front bumper and turned that van, went into the median, flipped up and over, slid across until oncoming traffic hit us to turn us back up. And the engine is smoking. My brother-in-law and I are thinking, okay, when this happens in the movies, it explodes, right? We climb out easily because we weren't wearing seatbelts. And I'm thinking, oh my. I'm not even sure Dad had called the insurance company yet for putting insurance on this van. This van was purchased for me to be able to go and get a scholarship. Oh my. Kids, this was before cell phones. I know you don't think I'm that old, but this was before cell phones. No way to get a hold of Mom and Dad, a few miles away. We finally get the ride home. It's like, can we take the long way? I mean, the really, really, really long way? Somehow they had heard, and when we got home, before I could get out of the car, my mother came out of the door. In her arms, with his wife. She didn't say a thing. Moms, you have powerful grace to speak. You have powerful grace to act, but you have powerful grace in your reactions. It was in the days of recovering from that accident that God confirmed in my life a call to use my life for Him. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the many godly mothers that you bless this church with. Lord, encourage them as agents of grace, of the deep, powerful impact they can have in the lives of their children. Help them to be diligent, sharing with them the powerful sacred scriptures that can make their children wise for salvation. By the power of your Holy Spirit, help them to be agents of grace in their actions towards their children, with their husbands.
Lord, help them to be so familiar with grace that it will empower their reactions. That, Lord, for your credit and for your glory, we could be a part of seeing a generation not easily deceived, but firmly convinced, living out powerful lives of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.